And I mean, no town is perfect, but Torrington's better than most of them in the state of Connecticut as far as things being a decent place to live without being raped by a high mill tax or other corruption that's in the Fairfield County. Forget about it. This is Litchfield County. Anyway, digressing. But it doesn't really matter, because the truth of the matter is that these criminals have hijacked the federal government. Now, the problem with the federal government is, just like Larry McDonald had said, it's become too big, and it's teaching you how to, it's telling you how to doctor, it's telling you how to farm, it's telling you what to farm. Big Pharma's taken over the medical, telling doctors how to be doctors. And the FDA is controlling, Monsanto is controlling the food supply. I mean, he wasn't off at all. He was 100% on. And I guess that's why they killed him. So, make no mistake about it. He was on a show, Crossfire, and gave a compelling interview revealing the Rockefellers are controlling foreign relations of this nation through the Council on Foreign Relations and our foreign policy 100%. And to this day, they do. In fact, Hillary Clinton almost slipped when she said she was so happy that she was going to be so close to the council so she can get her orders. She was going to say orders, but she could say her advice. And you can look at that, too, if you ever see the clip. It's just really funny. What, imagine if she had said that. I mean, but that's really what it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen. It's chain of command. It is chain of command, and the president is the puppet. And the agenda moves forward through the State Department of this country to the likings of the members of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. That is the key crux of the think tankers and how they put together their collectivism to get towards world government, which is the goal of course, the moving the United Nations to the total world body and the World Bank. I mean, they have it all started to be put into place, ladies and gentlemen. The EU and now the euro is crushing, and sovereignty is going to be taken away, and the bankers are going to come back as, you know, it's a typical Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. They destroy the economy. They offer the solution. They provide the problem. Then they offer the solution, and the people buy it. And that's basically what they're doing again. And we're not going to buy it here, though, ladies and gentlemen. No way. You want to talk about being able to, I'll sleep in a park. I'll sleep on the White House lawn if I had to. To stop this world government from happening, okay? I'll do whatever it takes. If it comes down to, well, we're going to sign off on our sovereignty, I mean, it's just outrageous. Now, they're not going to do it that way. They're going to do it stealthily. They're going to put it in some bill that's got 700 pages, okay? So, we have a criminal government, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why you have to understand. They're saying anti-government. We're anti-criminals, okay? We're anti-totalitarianism. We're anti-collectivism, okay? We are pro-freedom, pro-liberty, pro-free markets, pro-free opportunity. The Founding Fathers' principles, small government, federal government. States have to have the power, individual states. I happen to live in a state that, I mean, I didn't know I was sleeping when I moved here. I was asleep. But that's very, very involved in the machinings of the foreign policy leading towards world government. And the Agenda 21 protocol is being put into place here. Went to a John Birch Society demonstration that they had a meeting, actually, with the Oath Keepers in Southington, Connecticut at the police department about a month ago, maybe a little more than a month ago. And Martha Dean, who had run for Attorney General in Connecticut, unfortunately lost, was there. And talking about all the problems with, again, you know, the Oath Keepers are retired police and current police and retired military and active military who've sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution. These are a bunch of people that are awake, ladies and gentlemen, and I mean awake. I was in amazement how aware they were of the Agenda 21 protocols coming into different towns, into your local town to take over various resources and things like that stealthily. Again, it's a very, very evil little thing. It is called Agenda 21. They try to put it through in Beacon Falls, where a good friend of mine, Ronnie, from Beacon Falls, who's from Connecticut, skywatch.com. You can look for some of our chemtrails earlier. She tracks the chemtrails here in Connecticut and the activities. And, well, she'll be knowing about the ones I talked about today. I reported it today, Ronnie. I'm sure you're probably watching or listening. And you'll get that down. I'm sure you probably filmed it. It was very apparent today. There were 5 or 6 planes flying in unison. They don't usually do that. Not all at once, at least. You know, crisscrossing. You could see the planes. It was really something. Anyhow, I'm going to take a short break here as I move along to some more news in the second hour. If anybody has any comments or any questions or wants to chime in on any subject that I cover or maybe something that you'd like to talk about, maybe something I don't know, I mean, give me some information. This is We Are Change, where mainstream media news is the news that we ignore, and the news that they ignore is what we cover. So if you have any news that should be brought to the attention of the listeners, please, by all means, always call us in at Informed Radio, 772-905-3018. Again, it's Howard Nima from We Are Change, and you're listening to informedradio.com. This will eventually be streaming through Ustream on Truth Talk TV. But unfortunately, I had some streaming issues, and maybe I can get those things resolved for the second hour. So, Truth Talk, if you're out there, you can give me a couple of songs for a little interlude. I will be returning shortly with some great news to cover. change. Oof. Actually, flustered weekend this weekend, everybody. I don't know. Just seems that way. But moving ahead, you know, we've got some good stuff planned here for the rest of the show. I have much more information about, unfortunately, more crackdowns on liberty in Israel. Israel shut down liberal radio station in an attempt to silence government criticism. This is where we're heading, ladies and gentlemen. This is why we all have to speak up against this stuff. I mean, this is what it's all about. They're trying to shut us down. They're trying to say, like, the FBI has to record us. They're trying to say that people that are, you know, liberty-minded people, you know, that we're a threat, you know, that we're a terrorist threat, you know, domestic terrorists, you know. It's out of control. They're scaring people. Now they got these people, like, they got these Muslims. They just said they, I don't know, they look suspicious to them because they were Muslims, I guess, and put them through all this rigmarole. Now they're suing the TSA. Because they held up a flight for like 6 hours and people were suing the TSA because of it. It's ridiculous because these people, of course, were not a threat. But that's what they did. You see, they scare you. It's mind control. If you see something, say something. Like the same thing, like I said, with the flu shots. It's all mind control. Unfortunately, this is what we're under. We are under a mind controlled, system that is very suggestive, because everybody's so used to basically watching television or some sort of television. You know, in these days, everyone's got their iPhones and all these other things and their Blackberries and their, you know, whatever else, Androids and all this stuff, you know. But there are beta waves and alpha waves. Beta waves are the waves that you are in a state of mind where you're conscious and not really, like right now, even though you're technically in like an alpha wave state, I'm in a beta wave state. I'm thinking and you know, giving you information and recalling things and utilizing my brain in an active way, where you're receiving information from me that you're hearing. Okay, putting you technically watching into a lulled state. So, I mean, let's call it even. I don't want to say that I'm trying to mind control you, but that is the essence of it, is that the state of mind of the listener is one that's in the alpha wave state. Okay, the suggestive state. That's why we've been so programmed. Now, I went to film school, and believe me, most of my life, I didn't know that this was going on. I didn't know about the control with the film industry. I didn't know about the propaganda. I mean, I heard about subliminal. I read a book called Subliminal Seduction, you know, talking about putting these images. I mean, I remember the history that they, again, the history of broadcasting and the history of film that they give you in books, that they show you, the books that they print, like the Reed Exelvia people, you know, that print all the books. That they just give you the perspective that they want you to have. And that's really one of the reasons why I was asleep, ladies and gentlemen, honestly. So if I study, like, you know, you studied broadcasting and the history of broadcasting and something called subliminal seduction. And what that is like, let's say that Coca-Cola is the main vendor at the movie theater, okay? And they would pay to put one strip of Coca-Cola in there, and then the soda, the vendors have Coca-Cola at the theater. One frame, ladies and gentlemen. And they would shoot it through there, and then one frame of popcorn. And soon after, and they did tests on this, they actually, and this is, I studied this, I said, oh, that's funny. Not realizing it was part of like Project Monarch, and it's just interesting. See, that's the interesting thing about waking up too, ladies and gentlemen, is that you find out, you know, at first the thing that I'm going to say is, like, a lot of people I'm sure people are watching here that are very skeptical, because I'm trying to reach these people, friends of mine, people that I know that are not aware, that are skeptical or don't understand, okay? When I was asleep, I mean, it's just like you are literally living in a different world. You don't understand things the way they really are. And it's a tremendous awakening to then look back and say, wow, look at how this is and how this is, how you lived your life as opposed to now that you're awake. So for me personally, waking up was like all of the, you know, the first thing that happens is you get angry because, you know, you have to admit, and this is tough. This is, I think, the hardest part. You know, to really understand this is you have to admit that you've been deceived and that your belief systems are all manufactured and not really real. It's very difficult to understand that. It's sort of like, I liken it, because there's no other way to put it, to like somebody that's an alcoholic, you know, that doesn't realize they're an alcoholic, even though everybody around them knows they're an alcoholic. Then they finally realize it. They come to understand that they are actually do have a drinking problem. Okay? That is what I'm talking about. It's that kind of an awakening, an awareness. I don't want to use the word epiphany because it's just not the right word to use, but it's like a realization. To liken it to film, because again, the screenwriters of this New World Order are the globalists in this movie that is life, okay? Making the wars and all the misery, okay? that's the crazy part about it. They really are the architects, as in the Masonic terms, but also the screenwriters in Hollywood terms. Now, since they are, of course, manipulating what we think and what we see, they're able to insert these alpha wave state messages to us constantly. We're constantly being bombarded with advertisements. I believe it's something like 1,000 or 2,000 a day. So I don't know the exact amount. I mean, I haven't researched it in quite some time, but it's at least 1,000. The average American is 1,000 images of some product placement a day. That's a lot. We're also on camera, like something like almost 500 times a day or 300 times a day, something like that. Somewhere, if you're walking around, there's always cameras running around. My job, you're constantly covered by cameras. Point is that I think society has come to the point where we're so complacent by being comfortable that we don't understand that this comfort level is a mechanism of this mind control. Like I said, this alpha wave state, you're being fed all of this information mostly through television, especially in the last, say, 40 years, right? I mean, television has been the primal thing, you know. It's sort of in many ways, cable and everything else that's out there now, and all the. But it's all, again, it's bland, ridiculous garbage. I mean, it's unbearable, actually. I mean, you can't even watch the good shows, what you call unquote the dramatic good shows, because it really makes me sick. How one of the problems is when you're awake, is that you notice things that you never noticed, and you just can't bear it because the Illuminati and the symbolisms and the mannerisms of this occult thing is everywhere. And I mean, again, really, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not kidding. If you don't know about that, I mean, many people do. I mean, people that are awake are aware of this. But yeah, the symbolism is out of control. I never even realized it. Again, I was so asleep, ladies and gentlemen. My awakening was just. And it's not like one day I just woke up. It started actually when the very, very first thing that happened that's sort of strange is I saw, I guess it was Loose Change, like not the whole movie, but I saw like some of it. And I happened to catch it at the park on Access Television in a hotel room. And it was really weird. And the whole part about that particular part was where it showed the idea of a controlled demolition, and it just made sense. I was like, wow, that's interesting, you know. And then the next night, on the same channel, I saw Aaron Russo's film Freedom to Fascism about the Federal Reserve, and that started me like, just like, well, wow, it's unbelievable that you don't have to pay taxes, but yet they put you in jail, and there's all this thing, and then they're going for world government, and, you know, and what does that mean? What does it mean to go to world government? Why is it a bad thing to go for world government? I mean, this is where I'm sleeping.
Hey, Brian, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy.
It's
just
okay. I'm supposed to be doing this anyways. I couldn't find my intro, so I just hit stop on the player, and I was just going to run live from right here, so don't worry about it. I was supposed to do this anyways. Remember you told me a few weeks ago I was supposed to do my own show anyways. All right, guys, so we're live now. Sorry about that. I got a little confused today, and I forgot that I was supposed to come in and run my own and I didn't get to run the intro and where it was located in our system's computer. So we're just going to run live right now. We're just going to go from right here, guys. And the first thing tonight that I want to talk about, you know, I got a bunch of stuff tonight, actually. I got a bunch of stuff. And, you know, one of the first things I want to talk about is the other day when I was on, it was actually, I don't know if it was last night or if it was last week. You know, we were talking about the whole how we were blaming Iran for shooting down this drone, and you know, it's just another thing to, you know, push us more towards war action with them, aggressive action. And it, you know, it turns out that, as suspected, well, a lot of people thought it might have just been made up, but it turned out it's a CIA spy. So you know what? They have every right to shoot the thing down. I guess the drone, you know, the thing not only was taking video and taking pictures, but it was a drone that could actually intercept phone calls, okay? And this thing's flying around in the airspace, okay? No wonder they shot it down. Of course they're going to shoot it down. Anybody would shoot it down. And now there's this new story, and I don't know if I believe this, okay? And I saw this on RT today, and I am skeptical about a lot of the stuff I see on there. They do have a lot of good information, but they do have a lot of disinformation too. And, you know, I saw this thing on there about how Iran is going to have, like, you know, they're going to have carriers off of the east coast of the United States. Like, they're going to have, you know, they're going to have, you know, big warships just, you know, cruising out in our seas because we do that to them, you know? I saw an interview the other day with the president of Iran. He was talking about how, you know, how the West portrays him, you know, as being a terrorist, as his nation's being terrorists and these warmongers. And, I mean, he said it best. And excuse me if I mentioned this last night. I think I might have mentioned it last night. But he said it like this. He's like, you know, if we're this, you know, this terrorist nation and we're, you know, we want to hurt people and everything, you would see Iranian forces all over, you know, all over the world in all different countries. And, you know, name me a country where you see Iranian forces. And he said, you can't name one because none exist. Meanwhile, I mean, how many countries are we in? I mean, we got to be in over 100 countries. I mean, we have bases everywhere. And what does that tell a country when you have a base in there, a military base in their country? I mean, that's basically saying, hey, we run you. We run you. So now they're saying that, you know, they're going to have Iranian warships are going to be in our seas. You know, they say it's nothing to worry about, of course. But they want when they want to hype these guys up, you know, and you know, make it sound like they're so evil and we need to go in there and we need to take action. They're so bad. But now, you know, when they can't do nothing about their ship being in our waters, well, not really our waters. I guess it would be international waters. You know, they act like it's not a big deal. I'm sure that's not how they really feel about it, though. I'm sure it's not. You know, I see a lot of articles on there that, you know, I'm not really too sure about. Because then you see this other thing about, you know, North Korea has a missile now that's going to reach the United States. I doubt it. Remember the last few times you've seen them with their missile tests and they just kind of fell in the ocean? Let me tell you guys something, okay? This thing that's going on right now, this agenda that's going on worldwide that we're involved in, okay? You know, it's much bigger than the United States. We're part of it, but it's much bigger than just us. Other nations know that. They're not going to want to step in front of this train, okay? They're going to do whatever they can to mind their own business and hope that the bully doesn't pick a fight with them. And you know who the bully is, right? The bully's NATO. The bully's NATO. I highly doubt that North Korea wants to shoot missiles at us. I mean, guys, I really wouldn't worry about that. So if you guys see that in the news, I mean, really, I wouldn't really worry about that too much. I highly doubt that they're going to, you know, just think about it. What happens if they start with us? I mean, they're going to get annihilated. And not just because it's us, okay? Because I don't think like that. I'm not a big homer where I think, oh, we're just, you know, our forces are so much better than yours. That's a stupid way to think, okay? Other people have technology, too. When you start to mess with bigger countries, you know, bigger than countries like Iraq, you know, where there's more numbers, I think, you know, it gets a little more serious. I kind of forgot where I was going with that for a second. Yeah, these guys, you know, that, you know, these countries are not going to want to step in the way of that. They're not going to want to get involved because it's not going to be just us. It's going to be the whole NATO and everybody involved and whatever coalition we throw together coming after them. All they want to do is be left alone. All these countries, Iran, Syria, Yemen, they don't want nothing to do with us. And they're not attacking us. That whole story that was floated out about 2 months ago about Iran supposedly trying to get a Mexican drug cartel member to assassinate a Saudi ambassador on our soil. Remember we talked about this? I mean, it's just stuff like that they wouldn't do that. Why would they do that? So we can not obliterate their country? We're just looking for a reason to obliterate them. Really? I mean, seriously, we are. We're dying to go in there. Guys, we're going to take over that whole region. I mean, you guys can see that by now. I mean, it's never going to stop. I mean, maybe it will someday, but not in my lifetime. You think, well, what's going to make them stop?
You know what I think makes them want to go in? Is any what's signs that a country shows that they want to develop. They actually want to have an infrastructure. Well, we got to bomb them then. We can't let them have infrastructure.
Yeah, they want it. That's the thing that, you know, the truth was, I'm glad you said that because, and I can't prove this, but I really, 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 really think that, you know, a lot of the tension that they say is between us and China and us and Russia, I think it's much like the Cold War. It's just made up. It's meant so we can all become even greater superpowers. And anytime, like you said, anytime a nation is gonna build their infrastructure, then we're just gonna bomb the crap out of them. And none of these people are gonna step in, China or Russia. They want us to do this. This is all part of the plan, so they could become bigger and greater too. Keep everybody else in the third world. Have Germany, the UK, Russia, China, the United States. I mean, that's pretty much, you know. And I don't know, maybe like a couple other places. And that's what the I just feel like they're all in on it. I mean. I don't know, man.
Well, the problem is they've been taken over by this banking elite. And so you know, what they want is not what we're being presented with.
No, what they want is to have financial control over every country. And the ones that they don't, where they don't control their banking system, or they don't control their economy, those are the ones that they label as terrorist states. I mean, it's as plain as day. I mean, same list. You know what I mean? Same list of countries. You know, and there's always, you know, a ton of reasons. Go ahead. What were you going to say? I heard your mic come on.
Well, just that, you know, these countries that are independent of the main power in on Earth are the ones that are being labeled terrorists. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same ones. It's the exact same ones. It is. Because it used to be Iraq and Iran. I mean, Iraq and Afghanistan were on there. Iran's been on there. North Korea's on there. Syria's on there. I mean, it's the same countries where they don't – and Libya was on there. It's the same countries where they don't control their economy. It has more to do with money than it does resources, but it has to do a lot with resources too. They want to control the financial systems and the banks. They want to get all the resources they can. It's not that hard to see, man. If your country's financially independent, then you can expect a visit from NATO. What this guy said, the president of Iran, just made so much sense to me. I mean, he says if we're this, you know, you'd see Iranian forces everywhere if we were this, you know, warmongering state. And you know who you do see everywhere, and he didn't say it, but you know who you do see everywhere? It's us. We're in everybody's business. We really just keep starting wars with everybody, and our people are so stupid that they don't even see it. We can float any lie out there about somebody to defame their character as far as another nation, and then we can just say, yada, 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 this happened, that happened, and we're going to go to war. Nobody bats an eye. Nobody even bats an eye now. Do you remember when the whole Libya thing started? Nobody gave a crap. How about Egypt? When we intervened in Egypt, nobody gave a crap. I mean, the people that we talk to on here that are so-called truthers or whatnot, whatever you want to say, they gave a crap. But all the regular people, I shouldn't even say regular people, but all the masses of people, they didn't give a crap about. They don't even care. They don't even care that we go and murder people for profit, basically, is what it is. It's never been about freedom. And they tell these people, listen, they tell them so much bullcrap, and they tell them that the terrorists were jealous of us because of our freedoms. Well, with all the stuff that's going on now, like say this Defense Authorization Act when it goes through, if it goes through, and you know the Patriot Act and things like that, then the terrorists have already won because we're giving away our freedoms. You know, it's so frustrating, man, to know that it's all fake and you can't just get through to everybody. Why doesn't everybody just listen? You figured it out, you know? A bunch of us did. We all know. We figured it out, finally. Why can't other people just listen? Like, we're not making this up. Like, listen to us. You know what I mean? Pay attention to what I'm saying. It's important. Turn off the TV for a minute. But people don't care. It's like a switch. They don't even care. So frustrating, man. I don't know how some people just don't care. Like, I understand how people aren't awake and they don't know because everybody was in that position until something happened. So many people, it was loose change. Or for you, you know, like you said, truth war, it was the election. You know, for some people, it was just doubting 9/11 from the day it happened. I'm sure some people did. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people wake up, and before that they weren't awake. But the people, when they're just presented and you present a good case and you just show them so much stuff and they just don't even give a crap, it's so frustrating. I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't know, man.
Well, it was the movie Terror Storm.
Yeah,
you know,
I saw it. Yeah, I saw it a bunch of times. Yeah,
a lot of people malign his author, and whether he's Intel, COINTELPRO or not is not the issue. The point is the information. During that movie Terror Storm, there's one interview where I guess it's Alex who goes up to this guy and basically says, "Well, we need the oil, don't we?" Actually, it was Ray McGovern.
Yeah, when he was in Texas.
Yeah, I think it was Ray McGovern who did the interview. It was Ray McGovern who asked about going into Iraq or whatever. And this dopey guy, he says, "Well, we need the oil, don't we?" And Ray McGovern says, yes. Oh, really?
No, you know what he said, Truth? to jump in, you know what the way he said it is he talked about how we're going to lose an X number amount of Marines every day or something. And then the guy responded with, oh, well, we need the oil, don't we? Like, as if we should trade American lives for the oil. That's how that went down. That was, yeah, that guy was an idiot, man. I know which guy you're talking about. He was the big George Bush fan when they were out near George Bush's house in Texas.
Right.
I know what guy you're talking about. That guy was an idiot, man.
Just the idea that, oh, we need the oil to drive our cars, I assume is why he said that. You know, and thinking that the only way we can drive our cars is if we have the world's oil. So we can all just drive to the rest of our lives and let the rest of the world languish in poverty. You know, this is the mindset. This is the accepted mindset of the common American person, is that we should go and take from whatever, from whomever.
Yeah.
In order to be able to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, that's insane. How is that even having any morals? So why don't we just stop all the sugarcoating and say what we're doing? We're killing people and stealing their shit. How about that? That's what we're doing, right?
Yeah, we're stealing the shit that will keep us enslaved. You know,
we're killing
as long as we have lots of cheap oil, we won't care about new technology.
Yeah, we don't even need the friggin' shit. Oh, it's so aggravating, man, you know? And I'm not gonna do a whole show right now about Tesla's free energy technology, but you know, that's what the road we're going down here, guys, is you don't need gas. You don't need the oil. There's other technologies out there that they've just been suppressing because it's not as profitable for them. It'll screw up their whole power structure, okay? Their whole empire. It pretty much a lot of it relies on the oil and the way they're strategically placed in the world now and things like that. If you to just make that stuff obsolete, it screws up everything, and that's why they'll never do it. And they've had this technology since, you know, the 50s. I mean, it's been around since before then, but they've had it in their hands since the 50s. That long ago. I mean, you know, Tesla built a car in the 1940s that went over 90 miles an hour, and it didn't run on gasoline. You know what I mean? It's just unbelievable. Now, the energy wouldn't be totally free because there would be a little bit of a charge because they'd have to have like a distribution place probably to then send it out to you. But the cost would be so minimal. And there's no waste. There's no byproduct. It's totally green. It's totally renewable. It's just natural energy from the earth and from the energy fields around you. But no, they don't want to go down. Why? That just sounds too cool and too convenient. Why would you do that? Let's use gas where we can pollute and we can tax people on pollution and that's, you know, it's unbelievable, man. People have no idea about that. I mean, I had no idea about that, obviously, until after I found out about, you know, all this other stuff. No, I had no idea who Tesla even was. They never teach people in school. Derek, you over here? I have a buddy over here. He's never heard of Tesla. The only Tesla you know is signs everywhere, signs. The only Tesla we knew. Greatest scientist ever. Greatest, you know, inventor ever, really.
He was credited with it. You ask me, Tesla is a little bit like Einstein, where they credit one person with all these incredible concepts, and then when that person dies, the credit dies with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with evil. Like, you do all this evil in the name of one person, i.e. Hitler, and then when that person dies, the blame dies with him.
Yeah.
It's only one person who can come up with all this. Please.
What was I going to say? You know, people will buy anything, and especially when it comes from the government. That amazes me that people will buy anything when it comes from the government. And you know, they float this story out there how, you know, they have all these new rules and they filed all this paperwork for these guidelines for launching a cyber attack, when they can do it, when they can't do it. Do you think they're really going to abide by any friggin' rules when it comes to launching a cyber attack? Do you think the CIA is going to look up a handbook and oh, no, we can't do it right now? It really says things like, if you have good relations with the country, you can't launch a cyber attack. If it's blah, blah, blah. Give me a friggin' break, man. Do people really buy that? I mean, they're launching cyber attacks all the time. That Stuxnet virus that was out a while ago, yeah, that was us. That was us. We launched that. like this guy that wants for that. And I don't think this should be. I mean, Jesus, if I have problems with a lot of things they do. I do. But if they're hacking into other countries' servers and stuff to find out information, I mean, good for them. I mean, I guess, I mean, I can't really talk down on that, honestly. I can't. I don't really have a problem if that's what they're doing. If they're doing it to, like, terrorize people and shut down their power grid and make people go freezing and stuff like that, then we have an issue, you know? Then that's not cool. And that's probably more along the lines of what they're doing. But if they're using it for, like, espionage purposes, I mean, they don't think they need to tell anybody. I mean, you know, that's nobody's business. Just do it, you know? Don't make out these – float these stories out there how you're going to abide by all these guidelines before you start hacking people. It's just ridiculous. You hear about this thing with the kill switches now, supposedly, and I think they already do. I think they already have it, but supposedly they're going to have, you know, trying to put a kill switch on all cell phones now. You heard about this, Truth War?
Well, they certainly had that in during the Katrina disaster.
Yeah, and they did it. Do you remember when the thing in San Francisco when they did it to the people over there? Something happened around the subway system or something, and they shut down everybody's phone because people were protesting something?
That I don't know. No.
Yeah, they did. They did that in San Francisco this last summer. Damn, where the hell was it? Yeah, it was San Francisco. Hold on, I think I got something right here in front of. No, this isn't it. But yeah, there was something going on in San Francisco. I don't remember exactly what it was, but people were trying to get together, gather, get a protest going, maybe a march, something like that. And the government came in and they actually shut down everybody's communications on everybody's cell phones. They cut down all the network that the people were on. Nobody could use it. Not the whole network. Like, they did it, you know, by location. You know what I'm saying? They didn't, you know, shut down everybody on that carrier. They just shut down the people that was something to do with the subway. I don't know if there was a protest in the subway or around the subway, but they shut everybody's phones in and around the subway. They just shut them down. That's why I'm saying I think they already have this. I think they do. The things that, with the smartphones, guys, and I think I talked about this last week, you know, about carrier IQ. And if I didn't, real quick, I'm just going to go through it, you know. A long time ago when they started making these smartphones, they built back doors in them for government access, for government to get in there and spy on you. Now, they're trying to float these stories out over the last year or two like it's an accident and, you know, like, oh, the Apple thing's accidentally logging your location and putting it every 15 minutes. And then a few weeks later, it's, oh, Android phones are doing it too. No, that's not an accident. That's what I'm saying. People will buy anything. No, they put those back doors in the smartphones a long time ago. Once they started having phones that had navigation and, you know, complete web browsing, not the abbreviated stuff and all this, they've been tracking a lot more than you guys know. I mean, they have been. That's just what they've been doing. And now with this new thing that they have, okay, this is the worst. If you guys know what a keylogger program is on a computer, and I've used them before. I've actually used it to catch somebody doing something that they weren't supposed to be doing. And it was actually very good that I did. If you have a keylogger program on your computer, okay, or on somebody else's computer, you can actually do it remotely and have it email you things. What it does, okay, for everybody that doesn't know, it actually records every action you make on the computer. So think about this. Everything you do, whether it's going to a website, typing in a search thing, an email, a letter to somebody, every time you scroll the page down and you have a different view of the page, because it takes a picture of everything you do. So every password you put in, every username, everything you do on the computer is logged. And if you do it remotely, and if you're smart enough, you can actually send it like a picture to somebody and bury it in the file and they'll activate it. If you just email it to them and they don't know, what it'll do is it'll do it remotely, and then it'll email the results back to you. And you can actually sit there and look through a whole day's worth of screenshots. It'll show you everything. Well, you know, it turns out that most of the smartphones – I don't want to say most, but millions and millions of smartphones have a secret keylogger program built into them. It's a backdoor that's been built into it. I'm not a backdoor. I'm sorry. It's like a secret app that's been built into it. And even if you try to shut it down, you can't shut it down. It's called Carrier IQ, and it's logging everything you do on your phone. I think I might have talked about this, guys. I'm sorry if I did. I'm just going to try to go through it real quick in case I didn't, or for anybody else new is listening. You know, I posted a video of it not that long ago. I'll throw it up in the Facebook group tonight. everything you press has a corresponding number that's getting sent back to a server. Everything. Except for, like, the volume. I mean, everything. Every button you press, even text messages that you send, are getting sent to this server and then sent to the recipient. To the server before it even gets to the recipient. It's logging everything. I mean, that's, you know, that's the biggest invasion. Just picture, guys. You guys all do private things on your phone. I mean, you all send text messages you don't want people reading. You don't want people knowing who you're calling. Whatever, what you're looking at on the internet, it's all being logged. And don't think it's for nothing. I mean, people are looking at it. So to think that, you know, the government might be getting a kill switch for the cell phones, I think that's kind of absurd to think that they don't already have it. I mean, with the stuff they're already doing, I mean, I would have think they would have had a kill switch 10 years ago, right? I mean, that's just what I would think. I mean, with the technology the way it is now. Another thing. It has to do kind of with around these topics here. Facebook just bought out this location-based social network. Now, I had never heard of them. Now, when they say location-based social network, I'm thinking like Foursquare. That'd be right, Truth? That'd be like a location-based social network, Foursquare, where you check in and stuff like that. There's this other thing called Gowalla, G-O-W-A-L-L-A. And Facebook bought them out, but they're actually shutting it down. And they're just taking the developers and bringing them to Facebook headquarters. So what does that tell you? Well, that tells you that they're beefing up their location things even more than they already are. I mean, and it's already absurd. You know, I've told people how they tried to trick me one day when I'm posting something and they asked me to confirm it again and is asking me to actually let people check me into places. And just the other day, it turned on by itself. I made a post on my wall. I made like five of them and they all said my city. It said near, and it said the name of my city. I'm like, you know, what's going on here? I always have that stuff turned off. I'm not the one that ever play Foursquare or play Check Me In or any of that stuff. Don't be tagging me in a post. If it's, you know, if it's to get me to look at a post, that's cool, man. I do that to people too. Like, hey, you should look at this, and I put their name. Don't tag me in a post and say, hey, I'm going with this guy. We're going here. No, don't do that. I can't stand that, you know. The whole thing's CIA anyways. Truth War, this probably interests you a little bit. You know, Truth War himself, he told me one of the biggest things that woke him up was the election in 2000 and how they let George Bush just steal the election and nobody really said two peeps about it. They made a little bit of noise about it at first, but there wasn't really too much backlash. You know, even Al Gore was laughing about it when he was the Speaker of the House, and even he could have just raised his hand to take a vote to I don't know what it would have done. I don't know the exact process, guys, okay, but it would have dragged it out a little more, gave it, you know, another look or whatever, and he didn't even raise his hand. He was laughing about it. In Russia, and this is a good point because, you know, I'm telling you guys, it's not just here. You know, this is everywhere. This is a problem that's, you know, it's much bigger than us. And in Russia right now, they have this voter fraud thing that's happening. You know, very similar to the situation we had, except there was a lot of people protesting, and now they're locking up hundreds of them and hundreds of them and hundreds of them. And, you know, I just see in the last – and, you know, we always talk about, you know, the last 10 years, and for good reason, because, you know, 9/11 was 10 years ago, and that's really when they did amp up a lot of the stuff. But besides the last 10 years, I've really noticed in about the last 2 years – that the police state and around the world has really just gone out of control. I mean, Truth War, what do you notice? I mean, have you noticed it really pick up a lot in the last couple of years? The police presence, the police state, the military presence on the street, police dressed like military, you know, the TSA BS and everything else?
Well, we have a little bit of the TSA. We have a little bit of the militarization of the police. But, no, it's not very obvious right now. What is obvious is lately at the shopping malls, and I noticed a similar place, I can't remember where it was now, but at the shopping malls, at least the ones downtown, if you go to the not even suburban, but, you know, the edge of town shopping malls, police don't have this, but in town shopping malls, they have flak jackets now on the security guards at shopping malls, you know, urban shopping malls. And That's basically the only difference. You were talking about, there was another point I wanted to bring up, something else you were talking about before that. Something I had mentioned. There were a few stages beyond that that I wanted to describe.
Yeah, I was going for a little bit. Was it the voter fraud? Was it Moscow? Was it the election?
Russia.
Russia.
Russia was an issue. Now, Russia has been awake for a long time, along with most of Europe. And what I see happening now from what you were talking about is basically a lot of people have been awake, including officials, you know, city councilors and all this. They're on side. They're all on side. But you know what? Things are coming to a head now. And so, friend, as far as I'm concerned in Russia, that's the best place in the world to be arrested right now.
The authorities are kind of feeling for the people because they know what's going on. Is that what you're saying?
The authorities are feeling for us here, too. I'm talking about levels now. And in Russia, the level of awakening in places like Russia and Europe are just, you know, orders of magnitude greater than ours as a population. So
it's true. So many other nations are so much more awake than us. I mean, it's really, they really feel for us too. That's what people don't understand. Is you know, people over here don't give a damn if you go over there and kill them because they live in the sand. They live over there. They're terrorists. We'll just take their stuff, whatever, yada yada yada. Meanwhile, do you know how those people feel? Because I spend a lot of time, you know, not to keep plugging the stupid Facebook thing, but I spend a lot of time talking to different people around the world. I make it a point to talk to people that are in different countries, and people, they feel for us. They really feel for the American people because. I think, you know, they know that we have all this freedom and we're just, you know, going to give it away. They die for it. It's
and that's
freedom
why
that
it
all
doesn't
these people
work.
Would die for. And they can't seem to fathom how we would just give it away. And they know that, you know, I talk to these people, guys, and they know that we don't. I tell them that, you know, the American people, they don't know about what our government does. They're so stupid and so brainwashed by the media. They're just not aware. And the people like me that are aware, I mean, we're dead set against it. And they know that. And they have compassion for us. And that's why it makes me so mad that people over here don't give a damn about them. I mean, they don't care if you roll a tank through a town and run over a bunch of kids as long as we're getting some oil.
Well, on that level, it is the officials that do understand more than the general population about what's going on. And if you can communicate, I mean, in the first few seconds of meeting someone, communicate and you see where they're at in this realm. So you can decide whether or not this, you know, depending on what you're doing at the time, you know, people like you and me need to talk to people with a lever in their hand, you know, a lever.
Yeah.
And can pry things.
Yeah.
And at the moment, I mean, pick your topic. What's a new topic, Brian? We can pick any topic on the earth right now and not lose our track.
No. It's just so much. It's just
it is a lot, but the brain is so capable of processing all of it and more. So, you know, we don't have to worry about that because we already are using or trying to use the maximum capacity of our brains. And trying to describe a picture, you know.
No, it's like what I was saying earlier, though. It's just so frustrating that, you know, there's other people that you know, and these are people that you've considered to be smart your whole life when it comes to a lot of other things, whether it comes to book smart or street smart or both, and if they're both, you would consider them smart your whole life. But now you're presenting a good case, and you're trying to tell them these things. You're not just, like, blurting it out with a megaphone or something like that. I mean, you're sitting them down and showing them things. And, you know, a lot of people, I mean, I have gotten to it. I mean, I have. But there's some people, they just won't let you sit them down. They won't look, no matter what you tell them. They just they want to pretend it's not going on.
The story is very much reversed for me because I found at first I got a lot of people to listen to me, and more lately – probably just as many people are listening now, but only because more people are listening now, right? But my approach was, I mean, you just, once you realize the truth, you can't stop living it. I mean, you insert it in your subconscious, and it's already there. I mean, it's your nature. And
oh, yeah, so, there's no turning back, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't turn that switch back off. It's a one-way switch. You know how you say it's like a switch when you wake up? That it's not really so much of a switch. It's more like punching through that mental box, because if it was a switch, it'd go the other way too, and it doesn't. You can't all of a sudden be unawake now. You can't. I mean, how could you? How could you go back into that mode of just not giving a crap about anything, not knowing, not paying attention, not reading between the lines? You know what I mean? There's some people that, you know, me and people like me and you, okay, we can go to things that would be a lot of disinformation, or people would call it COINTELPRO or what, but we can still go in and pick apart the good information and see through the fog. There's most people, they can't do that. They can't see through the fog. They can't read between the lines.
You know what's nice is the backwards view of that as well. When you remember your past and all the interactions, and many of them that you thought you failed, it turns out you won. You know, a lot of times when I said something that was totally inappropriate, sometimes got me beat up at a party.
Right? And you were right.
Well, I was, but I still see how it was totally inappropriate. I mean, yeah. I should have known better at the time, it's the way society has of turning something right into a wrong and turns everyone against you.
Oh, yeah, it's like, I was telling people earlier today, I'm just the guy that tells people how it is, you know, I tell the truth, I tell the whole truth, and, you know, some people can handle it and most can't, but I don't write history. I just report on it. You know what I mean? Don't shoot the messenger. And it's the message that should really piss people off. Don't be pissed at me. Don't call me unpatriotic, because it's asinine. What we're doing, and I don't want to pat either one of us on the back, okay? But people like us, we are patriotic, okay? It's the exact opposite of what people think. To say we don't want to be in a war is to not support the troops. That means you do support the troops. You want them to be home. You want them to be alive. You know that the thing that they're fighting for isn't what they think they're fighting for. And, you know, they're going to go out there and die over this cause that isn't about fighting for our freedom. It's about making a few other people rich. It's making a few people at the top rich, a few corporations rich. It's about pushing through agendas that you want. Once you know what's really going on, you don't want those agendas pushed through. So you want the wars to end. You know it's senseless. You know it's over nothing. You know we're killing 1.5 million people over there for nothing. By accident, my ass. Okay? You don't kill 1.5 million people on accident. It doesn't happen. I've said it time and time again. You can't, okay? It's impossible. You can't kill 1.5 million people on accident. That's part of what you're trying to do if you kill 1.5 million people. Now, when you say you don't want to go to war and you want to end the wars, I mean, that's not being anti-American, guys. That's not being unpatriotic. That isn't not showing support for the troops, okay? We want the troops to come home in one piece, and we want them to come home now. There's no need for them to be doing – there's not even an enemy that they're fighting that isn't made up and manufactured or something that we didn't install there. It's either people we control or it's just things that are totally made up in the news out of thin air. And that happens a lot more than we think, okay? A lot more than we think. Maybe even a lot more than I think, okay? Stories are just made up. Sometimes these people don't even exist that they talk about, okay? And most of the time that they do – it's people that are controlled by the CIA. That's just how it is. We don't get up here and say that for the hell of it. It's true. You know, these terrorists that they like to have you believe that are so scary, these Al-Qaeda or whatever, I mean, that's just their little chess piece that they move around the world. Anytime they need to have an agenda where they need to go into a country, well, they'll start an uprising first, and they'll use Al-Qaeda, or they'll use Al-Qaeda to make a terror attack. Or they won't even have a terror attack, and they'll just put some stuff on the news, tell you there was a terror attack, tell you it was these people, and that's just how it goes these days. And some people, man, I have people that, you know, they won't look at, like, say, any of the 9/11 stuff, right? And obviously, I'm knee deep in stuff. And one of them will be calling me on the phone, like, on the anniversary that they had this last year, and there's all these specials on. Oh, look at this, look at this. And I'm like, dude, you know that's a fake scene right there? In that same scene, this guy's arm goes right through another arm. I mean, it's shot on a green screen. No, 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 no. Look, what about the engine? I'm like, guy, they put that engine there. I mean, the staging's not even broken. There's not even a crack in the pavement. But people can't even begin to process that. you know, the news is lying to them, or the media, or the government's lying to them, like, all the time. And it's all the time. It's so ass backwards how everything is from the way we were brought up to believe what it was. I mean, everything is backwards. And we're so fooled into thinking that we have all this freedom that we really don't. And the only reason we believe it is because we don't see the chains. We don't see that we're chained down. We don't see that we're shackled. It's done cleverly. It's not like the old days. And when they want to do things with machine guns, they do things with technology now. They do it with psychology, okay? They use a lot of psychology on people. They know how to control the masses. Truth, I think you can, you know, what do you think about that? I mean, they do, right? It's a big head game.
Psychology has always been a part of it. So that's been the case all the way through. You were talking about patriotic. Now, we should kind of clarify the word patriotic, because, you know, to me, that means kind of loyalty to a country. Yeah, and maybe yeah. It's the American, you know, angle that's blinding me there, but there was another thing that I was, you know, during all of your talk there that had implications there too. Because, like, caring, you know, about other people, and I remember growing up, I was devastated when, you know, what we called developing countries, you know, just were going backwards, and everyone around me, and I'm trying to not single out my parents here. You know what I mean? I'm saying that my whole, not even the family, friends, I mean, I had no friends, but people who were the least hateful of me just were totally clued out every time you go into these areas. It was so much easier for them to just go along with whatever else they knew.
That's how everybody is. Everybody just goes with the flow, you know?
Remind me of the last question you asked me.
Was talking about the psychology and controlling the masses, and then I kind of cut off and asked you what you thought about all of it. I don't remember what I asked you before that, honestly, buddy.
Well, that's all you asked me. But what you were talking about before that was, you know, we were almost there. I mean, let's just keep going there, because we were talking about other countries. You know, I think that's another flood that you're about to find yourself getting out of. Is this blindness of, you know, what exactly is patriotic?
Well, to me, patriotic would mean, like, doing the right thing for your country, not doing whatever your country tells you. I think that's the wrong meaning. I think maybe that's the kind of meaning that you're thinking a lot of Americans have, where it's, you know, don't speak out against the government, do whatever they say, and that's patriotic. And that's not patriotism to me. Patriotism to me is like, defending the people of the country. I mean, I think it has a little different meaning than what you're saying. I think just a lot of people interpret it the wrong way.
I think the difference is that you're putting it to the country. Whereas if you want to be really patriotic, you need to be able to defend the person.
Yeah, stick up for the people.
Person the right word? Or people the right word? I mean, are we putting that wrong, you know? For me, I really want to be right from beginning to end. So I start with the very first word, which is the. Okay, are we right with even using the word the? That's what it comes down to. And if we can figure that one out, I mean, we will map out a lot of history.
You know, the people that make me the most angry are the ones that are the fake patriots. They're the ones that, you know, they get drunk and loud, and they tell you that we need to go bomb the crap out of these people, or they'll tell you that we just need to nuke everybody over there, and they're all for the war, and they think it's patriotic to be like that, and it's really just asinine. I mean, you sound like an a-hole. I mean, really. You do. I mean, to have no compassion for other people's life and to not be able to look at anything from the other side. I mean, to call yourself patriotic and just totally blindly go along with what a corrupt government says, it makes you just as corrupt as them. I mean, if they're evil and you're going along with evil, you're evil too, in my book.
But a lot of people don't think they're speaking from the government. They're speaking, they are speaking from the TV.
Yeah, it's the government's message, but they don't realize that they think it's their message, but it's really the message that has been put onto them by all the propaganda, where if they were more educated about things, they wouldn't be buying that message and they wouldn't be repeating it because it's so backwards, right?
That's the thing. Is it a morality thing or is it a deception thing?
It's a deception thing with most of them.
Yeah, and that's the ones we got to reach. That's the ones we're trying to speak to right now. That's one anybody listening would want to try to speak to.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you guys out there listening that, you know, some don't know about half of the stuff that we're talking about tonight, you know, you gotta be willing to admit that you were wrong. That's the biggest step in researching these things and getting started, is honestly being ready to admit you were wrong and just wipe the slate clean. And don't feel bad about it, because we were all wrong millions of times on so many things, okay? And we're still wrong all the time. We're wrong about stuff. Stories are floated out that we'll report on, and they're just fake, okay? It happens to us all the time, and we don't even realize it sometimes, I'm sure. I'm sure I've talked about a story in the last couple of weeks that was just floated out by the media, and maybe I got it from a few sources, and who knows? Maybe it was just floated out there. I mean, we all make mistakes. But you have to be willing to take that first step and admit that, you know, you were, and it's not your fault. You were part of a system that was put there to keep you down, part of an education system that was put there to dumb you down and to keep you from growing. And why do you think you didn't learn anything in high school unless you went to, like, a vocational school and took a shop and learned a trade? Why do you think you learn nothing in high school? Because they don't want you to learn anything in high school. They want you to learn just enough to get you to where you might want to sink some money into going to college and getting some student loans. I mean, really.
They want you to learn to be popular in high school. Nothing else matters but being popular.
It's true. I didn't know how it is up there in Canada, but I mean, in high school, it's so clicky. As soon as you get, like, into your freshman year a little bit, people form cliques. It's like, you know, depending on what music you listen to. That's a big one, music. What music people listen to influences the who they hang out with and the way they dress, and everybody hangs out in cliques like that. At least that's how it seems to be around here a lot.
Well,
and then it breaks down more than that, because we have a lot of nationalities and stuff in my city. So, you know, the Asians hang with the Asians, the Puerto Ricans hang with the Puerto Ricans, the jocks hang with the jocks, you know.
Yeah, it's more active when you got multicultures. And
yeah, we got a lot.
You know what? It's very much less active here, but we got multicultures. And so the activity here, the higher up, you know, the elitist activity here is much more clandestine. But I'll tell you, they've gotten away with big time more by being clandestine, you know. And so all these DATs and SATs and CATs tests that they do is all just so that they can learn, you know, your mindset, your skills, and all of that is right now probably on internet too, widely available. This internet also available, just not as easy to find. I mean, internet too is all about every data point of every person. So. Yeah.
That's the thing. They want a complete control of the information. They want complete control of the information.
Yeah, well, they have all the information. Now they want to actually control who has that information. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Pythagorean theorem, right? That's how Pythagoras said, only my people should know this. You can't share this.
Oh, really? I don't know anything about him. So was that some Greek mythology or something?
Pythagoras?
Yeah, what is he? A philosopher from Rome, or is he a Greek mythology? What is that?
It would be Greek. I think he was Sumerian.
Okay.
So it would be before Greece. This is like the progenitor to Greece, yeah, Pythagoras. He talked about the five perfect solids. That's a little along the lines of what Corey Corey Herder. We had him on the other day.
I missed Sunday. It. I don't know. I missed it. I wasn't around.
Okay, he's a YouTube phenom. He had a big awakening with a major car accident like 10, 12 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so he's talking about like alternative energy. I don't know. There's the waveform that, so yeah, just Core Love is his Skype name.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. I wasn't around Sunday, and I don't really know who he is. We got 5 minutes left. I got one more thing I want to get to before we get off. You know, last week, and I think even the week before, I did a couple shows where I talked a lot about the incident going on at Syracuse University. Now, no, I'm sorry. I'm actually going back to Penn State University with the child molestation. We started with Penn State, then it went to Syracuse University with Bernie Fine. Well, now I'm going to talk about the Penn State thing a little bit because now more people have come forward. As we knew would, we knew there would be more victims. We knew that they would start coming out of the woodwork once one of them, you know, comes out and they feel that they're not alone. And, you know, God forbid some of them, I mean, they get messed up in the head. They even think that some of them, they did something wrong, you know. That's how, and I'm not saying they did. That's how some of them feel. So they don't want to talk about it, you know. And once they see somebody come forward, it gives them courage. And now this other guy's come forward. They don't have his name out there. But at the time, you know, he was a 12-year-old. Same with this one, you know, Sandusky, Gary, I think it's Gary's his first name, the sick freak there, dirty old man. They're saying he was liquoring this kid up. He was getting him drunk when he was 12 years old in the university office, okay? In the university office at Penn State, he was getting this 12-year-old kid drunk. And just this last summer, now this guy's older now, I think he's like 25, and just this last summer, he was dining with Sandusky. So they had kept some sort of relationship over the years. I don't know if it was like personal or if it, well, probably was. I mean, if they were meeting up for dinner, I mean, chances are they were probably going home after, if that's the type of behavior that, you know, was usually condoned. You know, It's so disgusting and evil that people would do that to kids, and it boggles my mind how it's not more frowned upon. I mean, you know, with people that actually make sense, like people that you talk to that, you know, make some common sense when you talk to them, okay, they all frown upon it. None of them are going to go to bat for pedophilia. But you have people like the Pope going to bat for it, saying it's not that evil of a thing. And you have basically a legal system where it's a slap on the wrist for what the crime is, okay? I mean, raping a child, I mean, shouldn't that be like, you know, one crime below killing somebody? Well, trying to kill somebody? Like, there'd be murder, attempted murder, and raping a child? I mean, wouldn't it be? But no, you'll get more time for selling drugs. You'll get more time for robbing a bank. You'll get more time for an armed robbery. You get more time maybe even for a fist fight if you beat somebody up and you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. You rape a kid, I see typically is something like a 2-year sentence, okay? You want to tell me where the justice is in a 2-year sentence for raping a little kid? Now this guy, you know, already, let me see if I have it here. I forget how many, but I think he's already had about 6 victims come forward. Might even be more than that. He's got 40 counts of sexual abuse against him. Does that mean 40 kids? I don't think so. I think you can get more than one per other. I'm not sure. But he has 40 counts of sexual abuse now for child sex abuse. 40 counts this guy has against him. Okay? This guy should go to jail for life, in my opinion. Okay? And I don't see how anybody could see it different. To do that over and over and over again and ruin these kids' lives and to just scar them forever. And I'm telling you, man, this guy better not walk off with a slap on the wrist. Him and the sole Bernie Fine. Bernie Fine's the guy from Syracuse, if you guys remember. Him and his wife. And his wife were having sex with boys. Behind each other's backs, too. Behind each other's backs when the other one wasn't around. Disgusting. We got 1 minute left. Truthwell, why don't you tell us what you think about that, and we'll wrap it up for tonight.
Yeah. Now, there's blatant cases like the ones we're hearing about of people repeatedly raping children, let alone raping anybody. Oh, my God. Rape is a form of consumerism. And what I mean by that is, you know, we've all been convinced to call each other consumers, right? And what is happening is, you know, we've been trained to act like consumers. And so, you know, there's also a lot of cases that, you know, I do want to go to bat for, where people are just accused of things and nothing actually happens. You know, some of those people, you know, all it is pictures on their computer or something like that. I know of a lot of good, or at least one good instructor at a college who, you know, was fired, and all he had was a few pictures. I mean, he never had any history. So the difference, one thing that I noticed a long time ago is that the law does not distinguish between rape and statutory rape. Now, statutory rape is a absolutely correct law that's being implemented incorrectly, because the difference there is, you know, there's, you know, like two years age difference, and because statutory laws apply and all this and all that, that, you know, those are,
yeah,
the people
crazy.
That are, yeah, they're getting caught up in the system and getting, they're blurring the whole issue. The issue is, you know, people who have a predatory nature versus people who have a nurturing nature. And, you know, I had this memorized a lot better, but, and this is a very sensitive issue, but you know what? I'm not even worried that I'm kind of stuck for words right now, because I'm making an important point here that you know, when it comes down to a morality issue, it's a question of whether or not your desires outweigh the person in question. And that's true in economics, that's true in politics, that's true in any social situation, any interaction with another person, any other person. And that's, you know, do my desires outweigh yours? And so it comes down to whether or not I want to coerce you into something, right? So it comes down to coercion and, you know, a certain amount of, you know, interacting with another person for a couple of minutes, whether or not they are of sound mind and able to make their own decision, right? And that's, you know, that's not what's happening in today's world. Nobody's even questioning for a second the other person's wishes, right? And if we were to start doing that, you know, that's the whole thing. And for me, it comes down to nutrition. Like what you got in your body is going to decide how your brain works, whether or not you're going to be able to stand up in tight situations.
Well, our country's the worst at watching what you put in your body. We take the most drugs and we eat the worst.
But are you the first to be the worst? I don't think so.
No. Absolutely,
like,
not.
I remember it was disputed whether it was 300 years ago or not, or more recently, that a person wrote that typical society lasts about 300 years and then goes through this crashing, this turmoil. And, you know, America, which I very rarely even use that term. America has only been around for about, it's just over 220 now.
Yeah, so, about 235.
So you're about, you know, about 70 years from breaking the record. 65 years.
Things are looking gloom and doom lately, but hopefully, you know, we can turn it around.
The thing is, that's a record, though. Like, most societies have been just as strong, just as prominent, just as revered, and yet they haven't lasted nearly as long.
Well, that's good, then. Maybe that's, you know, maybe we have a good enough structure in place, but we will, hopefully.
Well, it's communication. It was communication that allowed America to be formed in the first place.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have to wrap it up for tonight because I gotta fly out the door. But thanks for helping out again. Thanks for filling in. And everybody that's listening, thank you. Thanks for tuning in tonight. I'll be back tomorrow night at the same time, 10 p.m. with the wake-up call. You're listening to Brian Stavely. I want to thank Truth War again, and we're out of here.
I hope you got an extra mic and a fireproof booth because you know I'm known to mount a wire, too.